So, if you take your Bibles and go to James chapter 5, then the children are going to vacate the premises. Okay? James 5. Then we're going to look at prayer. Gee, I wonder how you might have thought about that. James 5:13 tells us, is any among you afflicted, or is any among you suffering hardship? Pause. Effect. Well, let me see. That's all of us at times, right? James 5:13, is any among you suffering hardship, or any among you afflicted? Well, here's the answer. Let him pray.
Amen.
All right, thanks for coming. I mean, there's the answer. Go talk to God about the situation. So if there's any among you that are suffering hardship, you're in a situation, then, you know, pray about it. That helps, doesn't it? Talk it over with God and then do whatever you want. No, maybe listening to God and what he has to say will help. All right? Is anybody merry? Except Mary's merry all the time. Or cheerful. If you're cheerful, then you know what you can do? You can sing psalms. You can just sing. Just have a great time singing the word to yourself. All right? If there's anybody sick or weak or feeble among you, let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, or actually it was olive oil in that time frame, in the name of the Lord. This is addressed, James is addressed to the diaspora, to Jews who have been born again, and that was the culture, anointing people with oil when they were sick. Is that something we need to do today? Well, if it is, I've healed an awful lot of people without it, so I don't think the olive oil has anything to do with it today, but that was something that they did in the Old Testament, anointing with oil to help them and help their believing. And there's not much power in olive oil, unless you had a good Italian restaurant. Then, you know. But here's the key, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So let them pray, let them come and pray for that individual, and that prayer of faith, the prayer of believing, is what saves the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if you've committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Now, the prayer of faith, the prayer of believing, hold something here. We're coming back to James, but look at Mark 11. A quick reminder here in Mark 11 on the law of believing, because it says the prayer of faith, the prayer of believing shall save the sick. So what is the one thing that's going to be needed in this?
Believing.
Believing, right. So, in case you've forgotten what believing was, let's look at Mark 11 and verse 22. We read, Mark 11, 22, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God, or literally, pistis, believe God. That's really what needs to happen if you're not feeling well and you need to be healed. Believe God. And have somebody who can pray for you if you can't do it on your own. As we go to first aid, second aid, and all of that. And to believe God, to get healed. And then it says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto that mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt. There is one of the enemies of believing, doubting in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, you're going to get it. You shall have whatever you said. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So it sounds like prayer keeps coming up, and if you want certain things in life, prayer is a good place to start. Prayer is a good thing to continue to do, as Mary was pointing out, because God's everywhere answering prayers. So if you find yourself in a place where God isn't answering your prayers, it's God's fault, right? No, it's not. You're not listening and you're not acting, probably, or God is saying, session one, part one of living, it's not available yet. Quite honestly, sometimes it's just not available yet. You know, we can't eat Thanksgiving meal until Thanksgiving gets here. Not available yet. So, but that doesn't mean you don't stop praying. Back to James 5, verse 16. says, confess your faults or your sins one to another. And this is in the context of getting prayers answered and having your sins forgiven. And then pray for one another. If I have a problem with Dave, I need to sit down one-on-one with him instead of telling everybody what a jerk he is. No, I need to sit down and talk things out with him and then pray for each other that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The Greek translates that as the energized prayer request of a just man prevails greatly. It prevails greatly. God answers prayer. For example, now Elijah. He was a man subject to like passion as we are. Elijah was a great prophet. And he did things totally different than all of mankind. No, he was just a human being. God told him what he needed to do. He believed God. He took the necessary action. And he had a really smooth, easy life. No, he didn't. God asked him to do some incredible things, and he did. But Elijah was a man, he was a human, subject to like passions, going through the same things as we are. He used to get stuck in chariot traffic. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for 3 years, 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, again, this is examples of manifestational believing, where God is the source of the information. He still had to believe and act on it. Go to chapter 1. We're going to be here for a while. I hope your wife has a lot to do with those kids right there. James 1:5. She doesn't know it yet, but...
They can sing the songs over.
All right. James 1:5, a reminder. If you're not sure, if you lack wisdom, James 1:5, what does it tell us to do? Ask
yes.
God, because God gives to all generously, liberally, and he upbraids not, or he doesn't insult you for asking. You know, that's a good thing. God doesn't insult you when you ask. God doesn't, you should know this by now. He doesn't find fault with you because you're talking to him, and the end result is it shall be given him. So if you're not sure what's going on, pray, ask, talk to God, listen, and then do what it is. And sometimes it's don't do anything. Look at James 4:8. Ephesians 4:8 is pretty good, but James 4:8 is where I want to go. We're right here, so I thought we would one more that will add to it. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Again, it's because God is on a skiing trip. No, God is always there. It's us taking the time to pray. Next week, we're going to look at Daniel in light of all of this. But you'll have to wait till next week for that. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. God hasn't moved. God is saying, include me in your life. Talk to me. Pray about things. What do you need? What do you want? He's constantly wants interaction from his children. Those of you who have children pretty much, you know, just kind of leave them alone. And if they get hungry, too bad. No, you take care of them. We're God's children. And so God will take care of us. He wants to take care of us. Here, Hebrews 4:16, another reminder. Hebrews 4:16. Says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. When you come to God, you can come boldly, clearly, openly to God. God Almighty, the one who can really do something about it. He's the one we can come boldly to. Come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, or and find grace for timely help, is how the Greek reads. We can find grace for timely help. I like timely help. You know, I like the check coming in the mail just in time to pay the rent rather than 2 weeks late, so to speak. You know, God's there for timely help, which means we need to ask timely too. And God, you know, not when all I have left is a prayer. No, that's the wrong time to go to God. Unfortunately, too many people want an emergency God. Spend time with God now. God answers prayer. We can come boldly, obtain mercy, find grace, timely help. This God fellow is pretty good. Look at 1 John 5. One more before we go to an illustration in Acts about people who prayed and what happened. 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in John Elway. Well, that's a Colorado thing. Somebody from California would not agree with that. They believe in Joe Montana or things. But in Colorado, this is the confidence that we have in God, who can do something about it, who makes no mistakes, that if we ask anything, and that anything is a broad anything. You know what anything means? Anything. You know what God is saying then? I know you're human. I know your shortcomings. I know what you can do. I know where you botched it, or I know where your help is. I'm there helping. Ask anything. I got your back and your front and the top. And, you know, I've got it all. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, oh, caveat, according to his will. I wish that Ed would just go outside and blow up. Nope, that's not according to his will. He listens. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire or requested of him. I have this little yapping dog at my place right now. It's a Nemo. It's my daughter Julie's dog. And she closes on her house in November, and so she's staying with us for about 6 weeks, and this dog appears. And he definitely knows how to ask. And he keeps asking. And you know what? He gets what he wants most of the time. So Nemo has his own Facebook account. Yeah. But we can keep going. I mean, Nemo won't shut up if he wants something. He keeps yapping and barking and all of this. It's a puggle. You know? So it's a little black dog that you can't kill. I don't want to go into his history, but I tell you what, God has taken care of that dog. So he was a college dog. I could start there. You guys could fill in some gaps with that. But after he swallowed a firecracker one time. Anyway, he got ran over by a car, and they yank him out from underneath the back tire, and his guts were all open and everything. He survived that. I mean, literally. He's, meanwhile, he's, you know, but he knows how to ask boldly, loudly. We can too. Look at Acts 1. God wants to answer our prayers, and more than just to shut us up, like I want to do with Nemo. Acts 1. He did do a whole bunch of jello shots one time. Anyway, Acts 1. Acts 1, verse 5. All right. We'll start in verse 4. Acts 1, 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, said he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Okay. Jesus Christ, you know it's him because it's in red. Jesus Christ said, wait, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Don't go anywhere. The promise of the Father is coming. All right, Acts 2:4 then says, but he told them directly, he's not there hanging with the 12 anymore. So he said in verse 2:4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus Christ said was going to come. They became filled with the Holy Spirit. How did they know they'd received the gift of Holy Spirit? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They had the proof. All right. They received the gift, the Comforter. Christ left so they could have something greater. God in Christ in you now, something much better. Now we go to Acts 10. Oh, that's the precursor to where we want to go. Acts 10. We're going to look at this record in Acts 10. Because here's a man who prayed. And God's going to answer his prayer. And God's going to do it a very unique way. And then they're going to prove that they'd received the same thing the apostles had received. Acts 10:1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. He was a centurion of the band called the Italian band. So he was a soldier. He was a captain, so to speak. And here is how he is known. This is something that, you know, if you want an epithet, this would be great. God put this in the Word. A devout man, a godly man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. This is God's editorial comment about this man. Right? He was devout. He was godly. He feared God. He respected God. He loved God. In fact, he did it so much, he taught his entire household to do the same thing. And they all did. He also gave much alms to the people. He was very much a giver. And look at the last part of that. He prayed to God once a week. No, it doesn't say that. He must have been living where God answered prayer. He prayed to God always. That was how he was known. He had an interaction with God. He constantly prays, constantly stayed in touch. And if you're a business person, you need to do that a lot. Or if you're just a person. So, exactly. He saw in a vision, clearly, or evidently or clearly, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he saw in a vision. Okay? Now, this wasn't television. This was a vision from God. And the vision around noon was an angel of God that had appeared to him. And this angel of God spoke and said, Cornelius. And when he looked intently on him, he was afraid. And he said, what is it, Lord? He recognized something greater than him was happening. What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for memorial before God. Basically, God sent an angel to appear in a vision and said, I'm going to answer your prayer. Now, that's not normally how God answers prayers, by sending an angel beforehand to tell us that. It's got to be nice sometimes. Is this really from you, God? Yeah. So, here we go. Your prayers are going to be answered. The fact that you give alms, which is proof of how much you love me, have come for memorial before God. Now, here's what you need to do. Send men to Joppa. Does he say go himself? No, the angel said send men to Joppa. And call for one Simon. His surname is Peter. He's lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. Who needs Google? I mean, come on. The angel's laying it out for him. You know? All right. The guy you're looking for is Simon. He's staying with another Simon whose occupation is the tanner. He's living by the seaside. And the rest of that verse isn't in the text. Verse 7. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he just kind of popped in the vision, and he pops out again. So what does Cornelius do? He prays, but no, he goes into action. He knows what he's supposed to do. He called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. Innermost people, people who he can count on, trustworthy people. And he, when he had declared all these things unto them, sent them off to Joppa. And on the next day, as they went on their journey, they drew near to the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And if you go to Joppa, there's a minuet on top of a house, and they say that's where Peter prayed, right next to that minuet. You can find that house today. If you've ever been to Israel, there's a lot of funny things they tell you. I was showed the tree that Jesus prayed, the olive tree he prayed under all the time.
Still there.
Huh? Still there. Olive trees only lived 1,500 years, but you know, what the heck. It was a good story by the guy. Anyway. So, these guys are showing up. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And the next day, they're coming. They're coming close to the city. So what does Peter do? Lunch wasn't ready yet. Peter goes up on top of the housetop to pray about noon. And he became very hungry. So he was human too. And he would have eaten, but it wasn't ready yet. While they were making ready, he fell into a trance, or it's an amazement. Something that caused amazement happened to him at this time. And here's what was the amazement that shocked him. He saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him. as if it had been a great sheet, knit in four corners, led down to the earth, and had all kinds of four-footed beasts. You know, you had good old elk with big horns on it that you used to, and wild beasts. Creeping things are reptiles and birds. So we got birds, reptiles, we got bears, and then we've got good elk or things like that. Got to have some pigs in there somewhere. And there came a voice to him and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." You know, stand up, slaughter, eat. I'm offering you bacon. I mean, that's what he's doing here. Peter, bacon? And Peter said, "No, I can't eat that, Lord. I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean. Except on Christmas, I eat lobster." When I was a WOW in Brooklyn, basically, one of the guys worked at a lobster dock. It was a wholesale retail of lobster. They do 5,000 lobsters a week that would come through there. And at Christmas time, all the Jews would come and buy lobster. They had three cops in there to keep the place from getting robbed. But it was the Jews that were coming in. Lobster is, according to the law, it's not, they're still not supposed to eat it. But boy, they sure were having a lot of it. Yes. So I know, at Christmas time too. I know. Anyway, but there was a number of them in Brooklyn. You had your ascetic ones, they're all black with the little curls and stuff that were there. And, you know, I asked God to go to a town. I asked about being not in the mountains, but near the mountains, a large place. And that was the year they sent people to small places, and I ended up in Brooklyn. But it's just one of those things where I wanted it to have major league franchises and things like that, you know, being a sports person. So it was great. Good story, but I can't tell it now. About 3 weeks in, we went to Yankee Stadium. All right, I'll tell it. And basically, I had an orange javelin. Okay, the American Motors javelin. It was orange with a big white racing stripe.
Oh, my God.
All right, I'm from next to Gary, Indiana, so, I mean, that was... But basically, we parked it. We were walking in. Some guy walked up to us and said, "Here, I got two extra tickets. Box seats. It'll cost you a hot dog and a beer." Okay, so we didn't pay for parking. And then we were given tickets, and they were great seats and all that. We came back out, and we told some of the locals where we had parked. They went, "Your car should have been stolen, because you just don't park in a place like that." So God just took very good care of us all, you know, all the time. The people probably thought it was a setup with this orange car.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I ain't touching that.
Right. Really, who would park there?
You never hide that thing.
Really. No. No, that was... meanwhile, up on the roof, bacon was offered. "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "I can't kill and eat. I can't have lobster. I can't have pig. I can't have pork." And a voice said on the second time, "What God has cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done three times. Sometimes, it takes a little while to get through to Peter. And then the vessel went back up into heaven, and while Peter was perplexed, he doubted, he was perplexed at himself with that vision, which he had seen should mean, well, it's quite, I mean, it was a really interesting thing. He could have guessed, but trying to figure that one out, well, what does it mean, God? What does it mean? God many times will tell us things, and then we start walking, and then we see why. 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, God told me that my daughter was going to marry this Hawaiian guy. And I went, no. First time I met him. And they got married many years later. And I didn't say a word to anybody because it was like, God only told me once. Maybe this one.
It's not established yet.
Exactly. Well, yeah. No, anyway. So Peter was perplexed, as we are many times, and he starts to move. All right, what does this vision mean? "Then, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry at Simon's house, and they're at the gate. And they called, and they asked, is there somebody named Simon, surnamed Peter, lodging here?" Because they couldn't ring doorbells yet. They weren't invented. So while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Remember, Jesus told these guys, wait for the Spirit to get the gift of Holy Spirit. Now, the Spirit, God, via the gift of Holy Spirit, speaks unto him after showing him this vision and says, three men are down there. They're looking for you. Get up, go. Well, get down first. Take the elevator down. And then go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. There's no other way Peter would have gone on this mission unless God interceded in this record here. So Peter went down to the men, which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am Peter, whom you are looking for. What is the cause wherewith you are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one that fears God, good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God, was instructed from God. Warned is a terrible translation. Was instructed from God by a holy angel to send for thee into this house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and Cornelius meanwhile had done a Facebook, said, all right, all the kinsmen, all the relatives, all my close friends, you need to be here. Peter's coming. He's going to teach the word. And when Peter came in, Cornelius met him. Cornelius showed respect, as you would expect. He fell down on his feet and worshipped him. And Peter took him up and said, stand up. I myself also am just a man. And he talked with him as he went in. And he walked in, and there were people everywhere. And he said unto him, you know how that it's unlawful for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation? But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. He's starting to put the pieces together. Then he asks for lobster. Therefore came I unto you, you know, without gainsaying, immediately, without objection, I came as soon as I was sent for. Now, I'm asking you, why did you send for me? That part hadn't been filled in yet. And Cornelius said, all right, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. The ninth hour, I prayed in my house. So guess what he was doing when he got the vision? He was praying at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And behold, a man stood by me in bright clothing and said, men's warehouse. Oh, yeah. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, call hither Simon, whose same surname is Peter. He's lodging at the house of one. That's how, you know, he's identifying the fact. This is what the angel said. This is why they were able to find you. He's going to speak to you. Verse 33. So immediately I did what the vision, what God wanted me to do in that vision. Therefore I sent to you, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore, we're all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God, or to hear all things that have been ordered by God for you. You know, what is it that you have to say that God has told you you need to tell us? Everybody came here to hear, and you know, again, when you sit in this seat and you teach, as we rotate through, you should be there. Everybody's present to hear what God's working in you to teach other people that day. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, well, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. By the way, Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, because it was published throughout all Judea, and you live in Judea, and it started in Galilee, and after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And this Jesus Christ went about doing good, and he healed all that were oppressed of the devil, because the true God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. But God raised him up the third day and showed him openly or clearly. Everybody, too many people saw him, that he got up from the dead, that he is Lord. Those two are kind of, you know, catchy things that need to be understood. He brings them both up. But not to all the people, but unto witnesses God chose before of God. These are all the witnesses that saw him. 1 Corinthians 15 lays it out also who they were. And he showed himself to us And we ate and drank with him when he rose from the dead. And then he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick people and the dead people. So the slow people don't get judged. Just the quick people and the dead people. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter was talking and speaking and teaching the word, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them which were there listening, who had heard the word, had believed the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. How did they know? Because they ran out of water? No. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They spoke with tongues. They did the same thing Peter and the other apostles did on the day of Pentecost, and later the 3,000 that believed. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. You can't speak in tongues until you're born again. Extra insight, they were speaking in tongues. They were magnifying God. Probably some of those Gentiles were speaking in Aramaic or something, and these guys heard them magnifying God. And those who came with Peter were astonished. And then Peter gets called on the carpet, but we go down to chapter 11, and then we look at verse 17. Acts 11, 17, after he was called in front of everybody in Jerusalem, in front of all the legalists, he said, for as much then as God gave them the like gift, isos, like gift, that's a key. Not a different gift, a different spirit in Jews, that's in Gentiles. Not a better spirit in Jews, that's in Gentiles. No hierarchy, the like gift, same spirit, available to all. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand or forbid God? God, you can't give this to the Gentiles. At least charge them something. Being a good Jew, I mean, you know. No. What was I that I could withstand or forbid God? And I love verse 18. When they heard that, they shut up. Yep. They held their peace. They didn't say, look, God didn't bounce this off us first. God didn't tell us. They didn't get our opinion. Good thing. For when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then has God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. A more than abundant life now and life eternal in the future. That's what's available for Gentiles. For those bacon-eating, lobster-eating, shrimp-eating, crab-eating. Really. Say, let's all go to...
Pork.
There you go. That's a good point. Pork eating. So, we close Ephesians 6, one verse. Actually, yeah, we'll close there. Ephesians 6, 18. That's right. For lunch, Kahlua pork. Ephesians 6, 18. A great exhortation for the church today. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, prayer is still in vogue. Talking to God is a good thing, and it doesn't need to be formal. Just spend time with Him, because He wants you to. And you can have prayer requests, you can be thanksgiving, you can just a lot of different things. With God, because God's lonely. That's why he put us all here. He could have made the entire body of Christ at one time, but he chose to spread it out over 2,000 years. This is our time. And it goes quickly. So this is our time. Enjoy your Heavenly Father now, because he's enjoying you. So Father, thank you for your love, your kindness, your goodness, your word, and that we can talk to you boldly and openly about anything, and you care. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.